had some major surgery in November, and I ended up being in a hospital for a month and in a rehab center for a month. And then I lived with my brother for a month, bed bound, but all is great. I can walk again. And thank you for all your prayers. And I just love you guys. I wasn't going to say anything, but Pastor Stan asked me to read the scripture, so I asked him if I could just say a couple of things. I just want to thank you for those of you who keep me in your prayers. I moved. I'm settling in Hollywood Beach, close to my brother, and thank God we've come to be very close, which is great because it was a little bit rocky for a while. And I got a job. I have a great job. I'm back in working in a nursing home, which I love. That's my love. And I'm just at so much peace. I just find myself being so happy for no reason. I don't have any friends there or anything, but I don't need, I don't know. I'm very guarded. Like, I have nobody like you guys. So there's nobody, anybody like you guys for me there. So, but I'm just content and happy and at peace. And I just want to let you know that if you're struggling with anything, just let it go and trust in him, because he will be there for you. He does so much. And Danny said to me this morning, oh my God, you've been through so much. And I don't feel like that, because he was with me every step of the way. And I never, even when I was like in different problems, I never felt like I was going through a problem. I just felt calm. And now it's just like complete different life, a healthy life, and just I go to a church, the Romanian church. Some of you were there, I believe, for my dad's funeral. So I bring you greetings from my brother Chris and my sister-in-law, and I'm asking you for prayers. And my brother left this morning. He's driving. He left at 6 to go to Cleveland for about 10 days, and I'm a little concerned because he's first driving venture since he was sick. You know, he's able to drive and everything, but this is the first time he drives alone, and he's driving a long way. He's gonna stop tonight. And also, I'm just gonna be forward and honest with you guys, because I love you and I trust you. My sister-in-law and her mother, who's in her 80s, had to travel to Romania. They're having some major issues with her brother, so the kids left and his wife left, and he's just very bad alcoholic. So from what I hear, when he's drunk, he gets aggressive and violent. And I'm concerned a little bit, you know, because my sister-in-law's mother's there. She's elderly, but they're there to do an intervention. I don't know how it's going to, God can do anything, so I shouldn't guess, but I just pray that you're with them and with him. And just love you guys. Thank you. Okay, I'll read the scriptures now. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to him, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from high." Amen. And one more thing. I haven't been playing my mandolin, but starting May 1st, I'm going to play it once a week at work. So I will play worship songs to the elderly people. So I'll continue to serve. Thank you.
You'll be like our little missionary that we send down there to the nursing home, sing some songs and offer some joyful and peaceful words. God bless you. We know that there are many prayers going up for your brother Chris as well, and for the in-laws that are on their way to Romania. So I've been praying for them. Good to see you. Good to see you. Kelly here as well, my friend. Good to see you, brother. Looking good. It's nice that people once in a while, they come back around, you know, and we know they're busy ministering in other places and all that kind of stuff, and it's really nice to see you guys. It's really nice to see you as well, Danielle, and just welcome. I wasn't expecting this many people today. You know, you wake up and you hear, oh, you're under a tornado watch, and then you're under a tornado warning, and I got several texts this morning, I'm not traveling, I'm not going out. But I thank you for braving the weather and making the effort and the attempt. And I see that there's a car parked right there. Whose is that? Oh, that's your car. That's so you can make a quick escape, or you can get your instruments in quick. That's where you get your instruments in quick. Good. It's all good, brother. It's all good. So as we're reading through the scriptures, I just want to make sure we're all kind of understanding where we're at. This is kind of a post-resurrection of Christ, right? Jesus appears to His disciples. The disciples are suffering all kinds of conditions at this point in time. They watch their teacher die. They watched all their hopes, their dreams, all their anticipation of greatness in the next kingdom just wash away and get crucified. And then it's not just that he died, he died as a criminal. And he died a horrific death. They're very confused. They're afraid because maybe they're next. They're worried, without hope. They're really afraid for their own lives. And then they start to hear these stories and these rumors. They start to hear that Jesus is alive. And so you can imagine they're a little bit doubtful. They heard from Mary, even, you know, Peter, John, they run into the tomb. Now what? Then now they hear these guys from Emmaus. They were on the road. They're going the other way, walking out of Jerusalem. And then they have this encounter. And then they walk back and they go to the disciples and say, oh, well, Jesus is alive. You could imagine that they're just kind of like, well, it's not us. He's not talking to us. He's been talking to like all this other, he's showing himself. But what about us? He's not showing. These are the testimonies of other people. And now so, is it real? Could it be real? They're hearing the rumors and walking even in uncertainty and fear. And you can begin to understand they're a little bit skeptical. And while they're talking about all of this, Jesus himself stood among them. And he said, peace be with you. Surprise! Sorpresa, is that how you say it? Sorpresa, here I am, I'm back. Did you miss me? I heard you were talking about me. This is Jesus speaking peace to them. They were overjoyed? No. They were startled and frightened. They thought they'd seen a ghost. Peace be with you. How many times have we kind of heard that from the angels, and anytime you have a spiritual encounter, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. They are encountering something that's got them kind of frightened and fearful, startled. Why? Because it's a reappearance. There's your first one. It's a reappearance. The movement of God startles a lot of people. His appearance causes a stir. Somebody is going to talk about this. Somebody is going to be talking about this. And here we are, you know, 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about it. Somebody's going to talk about this. What was your first reaction when you heard about a Christ, a resurrected Christ? What was your first reaction when you heard about a man that came back to life, raised from the dead in a glorified body? Skeptical? Or was it one of just instant belief? Doubtful? Maybe you were like the disciples. A little bit skeptical, a little bit in wonderment, a little bit I'm not quite so sure. You had to wonder, could this actually be real? Is that really you, Jesus? Is this even possible? How do I rationalize this in my own mind? Even with what I'm viewing, seeing, feeling, and experiencing. This goes against pretty much everything that they would have known. It pretty much goes against everything that you might have known. Could there be more than what you know? Could there be more than what you actually just see and feel and think? Could there be more? Because what you're talking about really goes against nature. It goes against the natural laws of death. Do I even understand spirituality correctly? See, he's not like a ghost. He's not like a ghost. He's not like a ghost or anything else you could imagine, an aberration. This Jesus, different. Different. This Jesus, watch, something new. Something new. Something other than has ever been encountered. Jesus is not where he's supposed to be in my natural, normal thought processes. He's supposed to be in the grave. He's not. He's supposed to be buried. He's not. He's supposed to be dead. He's not. He's supposed to be eliminated. He's not. He's supposed to be terminated. He's not. This Jesus is out and about. Walking, talking, eating. He's creating havoc all over again. Doesn't the story end? Doesn't the story end? Didn't the controversy end when we crucified him and buried him? Wasn't it supposed to be over? It's not over, because he's not dead. He's alive. And he's still causing issues. He's still causing disputes. He's still causing controversy. Just like he always had. He's not wrapped up in burial cloths anymore. Nope. He's wrapped in the heavenly light. He's not where you thought he'd be. He defies your expectations, certainly defies the expectations of those disciples. He frustrates the wisdom of the world. He has a disregard for human logic. Imagine that. His thoughts, just like Sunday school, are not our thoughts. His ways higher than our ways. He has a disregard for your logic. He's above and beyond the laws of physics. He's above and beyond the laws of mankind. He dances through time. He steps on the grave. He kills death. Did you hear that? He kills death. is preeminent, supreme, and the firstborn from among the dead. The firstborn from among the dead. Jesus came to do something new. He did a lot of things new and a lot of things different. This Jesus, he's just showing off again. You can expect the unexpected from Jesus. He does things that will rattle you to your core. Just when you think you know it, he broadens your understanding. Just when you think you've got knowledge, just when you think you got understanding, he expands your wisdom. And he shows you something that completely boggles everything you thought you knew. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, anybody in here going to be a follower of Jesus? A few of you? How about the rest of you? Anybody in here going to be a follower of Jesus? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. All right. You're going to be a follower of Jesus. Well, you're going to have to get ready for this. Here's your next slide. Jesus is surprising. Jesus is surprising. He will surprise you. Jesus, right in the midst of the mess, right in the midst of what you call life, even if you call your life a mess, Jesus, right in the midst of your mess, right where you are, just as I am, right where you are, right where you hurt, right where you grieve, right where you work, right where you play, right in the midst of your confusion and your chaos and your pain and your unemployment and your financial burdens and your car crash and violent weather's approaching, right in the midst of it all, there's Jesus. Right in the midst of your doubt, right in the midst of America, are you ready? Listen, right in the midst of Russia, right in the midst of China. Watch out, watch out. As the plan of God unfolds. A sovereign God. His plan is unfolding. He will surprise you. Do you expect Jesus to show up? I expect Jesus to heal. I expect Jesus to provide. I expect Jesus to deliver. I expect Jesus to sustain, to fulfill his promises. I know it might look different than what I think, but I trust him more than I trust what I think. Can you get there? Because if you can get there and you can walk that walk, you'll be soon moving into deep discipleship with God. Because it won't be your ways, it'll be his ways. When the disciples were afraid, he surprised them. When they were scared, he surprised them. When they were confused, he surprised them. When they doubted, he surprised them. When they were walking away from Jerusalem and talking about him, he surprised them. He surprised Mary. He surprised Peter. He surprised Saul. When they thought one way, he showed them another. When you think one way, he can show you another. When it looks like barren and arid land, he can show you where the river flows. When they were troubled and when they were disconnected, Jesus showed up. And while they were still enemies of God, he showed up to you. In the midst of your doubt, in the midst of your confusion, in the midst of your sin. Listen, I don't want to be afraid anymore. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I believe in Jesus. Period. I don't want to live in hiding anymore. I believe in Jesus. I don't want to walk around, you know, all fearful, on eggshells all the time. I believe in Jesus. I don't trust governments or regimes. I believe in Jesus. Come what may, I'm going to believe that Jesus is with me. I'm going to believe in his promise that he ascended, that the Holy Spirit might come and fill my soul. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to trust in that. Jesus is with me. Do you believe that? Say it. Jesus is with me. See, Jesus is with me even in the midst of inflation. Jesus is with me. Jesus is with me in wars, rumors of wars. Jesus is with me through the cancer. Jesus is with me, career changes, career options. Jesus is with me in my marriage. Jesus is with me in my home, in my church, all the places I work and play. Then he says to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? That's a serious question I'm sure he probably has for you. Why? Well, all the, praise God, hallelujah, love me some Jesus, praise be to God. Yeah, I believe, see my hands, Pastor, I believe. Then why are you so troubled? Why are you so fearful? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Do you live by sight and not by faith? He would say, look at my hands. My feet. It's me. It's me. Touch and see that it's me. A ghost does not have flesh, as you see that I have. So whatever you think aberrations are, and ghosts are, and angels are, and whatever you think spirituality is, and was, and Jesus, just, I'm doing something new. See? Touch me. If you're wounded, talk to the man with the scars. When you're struggling, talk to the man with the scars. When you're afraid, talk to the man with the scars. Jesus, not ashamed of those scars. Not ashamed of those scars. That's amazing. His experiences had purpose. His pain had reason. His past provided hope. You want to be like Christ? You don't have to fulfill his purpose, but you might have to fulfill yours. I'm wondering if it might leave you with some scars. Here's your next one. It's a reassurance. It's a reassurance. Jesus shows up, basically, peace be with you, right? Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. He already knows what's troubling them. He already knows what's troubling you, and he addresses it. It's okay if you're skeptical. It's okay. Jesus seems perfectly fine that you're nervous because there's a tornado warning. No, a tornado watch, a tornado warning. Jesus seems to be perfectly okay that you're nervous. Jesus seems to be perfectly okay that you're uneasy or that you're anxious about a job or you're anxious about your children. Jesus seems perfectly fine that you're tired or that you're at your wit's end, that you can't think anymore, that the burdens are too heavy. Jesus seems perfectly fine that you don't understand all the things that are happening with the world, that you don't understand all the things that are happening with his plan. He seems perfectly fine with you not getting it. Peace be with you. The Prince of Peace. Shalom. Now, I know you might think peace is in terms of the absence of conflict. This is a different peace. This is personal peace. This is deeply personal peace. God speaking to you. Peace be with you. He deals with each of us personally. And these disciples, you know, while they're hearing all this stuff, skeptical, not sure, you know, what weren't they doing? Well, you know, they weren't on a 40-day prayer fast. What weren't they doing? Well, you know, they weren't in a prayer vigil. They weren't at a leadership summit. They were broken, afraid, confused. All the things people love to tell the pastor they are. Maybe all the things that you might tell yourself that you are. Jesus in the midst. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Jesus shows up. He shows up. He already knows. And have you ever had those moments, pure peace and comfort, that just kind of settle your soul? You know, from those moments where you've been all kind of anxious, and it's like a wave comes over you, and you just kind of like, it's going to be okay. It's like standing at the seashore, right? And you just, this is the breeze and the immensity of the ocean, and it's just like you, and you're, yeah, it's going to be okay, God. I know you got me. You ever have those? I mean, as brief as they are sometimes, but you get just like, yes, God's got me. It's going to be okay. You're like, you feel in harmony. You feel like protected. You feel like, it's okay. Wherever you're at, it's okay. You're going to be fine. And it goes way beyond anything religious or doctrinal. It's like a spiritual depth of peace. That kind of peace. Like sometimes I like to come into the sanctuary when you aren't here. When there's not people. It's just me and a cross. Whew. Yes, Lord. By the way, sanctuary is your sanctuary. It's not mine. You find yourself in those moments where, you know what? I just need a place of sanctuary. To just sit, not hear the preacher preach, not hear the singer sing, just God. It's here for you. And why can't we live there? Why can't we just stay there in that moment of, I don't know if it's self-confidence or if it's that peace that just lays upon you that you feel like, man, I'm good. I'm on love with everything and everyone in the world, and it's all good. And then, you know, the noise of the world hits you somehow. You know? Car driving down the road. Truck back at beep, 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 beep. It just ruins it. And the moment's like gone, right? Or you you start thinking too much, there you go thinking again about all the stuff you got to do, and your back hurts, and your knee hurts, and your ankles hurt, and I'm uncomfortable, and I got sand in my feet from standing on the beach now. You know, just it just ruins it. And Joe, why can't we live there? Why can't we live there? There are those moments. They're there if you seek them and find them. You'll discover them. Those disciples had doubts even as they stood there in the midst of Jesus. Look at my scars. Touch me. But he doesn't even... Why didn't he heal his scars? I mean, we talk about that all the time, right? I'm going to get to heaven. It's going to be no more tears and no more pain. And it's going to be all joy. And I'm going to be rejoicing all the time and singing around the throne room of God. And there's going to be no more death. And it's going to be so wonderful. And then you're going to go, there's scars. What's with that? I thought I was healed like completely. I thought, what's going on with that, Jesus? Why doesn't he heal the scars? What's that, the only man-made thing in heaven? The scars on Jesus' hands and feet? How will you know him? How will you know me? Am I going to look the same? Am I going to be wearing glasses? It's because of the red shirt. I got to say, what is it? The voice? What's it? And while they still did not believe it, what? Verse 41, because of joy and amazement. And then they move into this place of like, look, it's me. It's me, it's me. And then they go, nobody else would have those scars. Nobody else would be like that. That's Jesus. Hallelujah, praise be to God, that's Jesus. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I can't believe it. I can't believe my eyes. Oh, this is amazing. This goes way beyond anything. I can't. This is astounding. This is so amazing. And just like so many of us, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Oh, your joy and amazement. So happy they can barely control themselves. Happy way beyond. This is unreal. I can't believe my eyes. This is too good to be true. And there it is. And there it is. There's all your doubt. Too good to be true. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. This is what was written about me, that I would fulfill what was prophesied and what was written about me in the Psalms. This is what must happen. You ever get into that place? I get into that place. I get into that place a lot. I jump off my couch. I can't believe it. Scored on the last half a second. Can you believe it? Woo-hoo-hoo! Amazing. Can't believe my eyes what I just saw. The tiptoe catch in the end zone. Oh my God, it's amazing. How astonishing. Last play of the last game on the last second. Astonishing. Joy and amazement. She'll tell you. I jump off my couch. I dance around. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And then he does something else. He says, as if that's not enough. It just, go ahead, it's me. It's me. You got anything to eat? What? You got anything to eat? He does something new. He even goes way beyond whatever you might think or imagine about spiritual entities. I can't even picture the cherubim. The cherubim, right, around the throne of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Lord who is and was and is to come all day long. That's all they do. That's all they do. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All around the throne is the Lord who is and was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Meh. Lunch break. Lunch break? Yeah, we're going to get something to eat. Come on. Cherubim Charlie, come on. What do you got? Manna again? Come on. I don't picture that. I don't picture the angels in a cafeteria buffet line. I don't see that. It's not how we, teriyaki chicken again. You know, I don't picture those kind of, that's not how I envision apparitions and angels and ghosts. And you got something to eat? Hey, Gabriel, you know, have your people call my people. We'll grab some lunch. That's like, how do I say it? It's almost like way too normal. Right? All of a sudden, it's like too normal. You took me from this amazing realm of revelation of beyond God and beyond, oh, it's amazing what happened, beyond death, and then you got something to eat? Man, it's getting real. Now, this is unbelievable. This is indescribable. It turns routine. Just like, it's almost bizarre. Weird, strange, whacked out. And does anybody else see it like that? I mean, but it's normal Jesus. It's just Jesus being Jesus. Created something new. Showing you what you will one day be like. This did not exist before. You understand that, right? This firstborn from among the dead, this never existed before. It's not like he changed and became something that had already been like or created like, or he became something that never existed before. And he paved a way that you might taste it and know it. And experience it. And all the heavens are in amazement. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He opened their minds so they could understand. This is what is written. This is what must happen. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations. Starting right here with you in Jerusalem. Go. But I don't understand everything. I don't understand why you ate. I don't understand the scars in your hands. I don't understand why there's rumors of wars. Just go. And I am with you. And I am with you. And I am with you. And if the world seems to hate you, just remember, it hated me first. Here's your revelation. Here's your next one. It was Jesus who opened their minds. It will be Jesus who opens your mind. We can get into a lot of prideful self-absorption if we think we save people, if we think we enlighten people, if we impart revelation upon people. I don't even think I teach people. I think they learn. Because there's different methods of teaching. But people learn. So I use the same method, but not everybody's going to learn. So I teach a method, and some people learn. See, I don't teach people anything. They learn. And it's the Lord who does the work. It's the Lord who opens your mind. It's the Lord who opens your heart. It's the Lord who reveals what he desires for you to know and understand, to receive. It's the Lord who guides and teaches and leads. The Lord gives the Holy Spirit. And I trust that you would come to church to hear from the Lord. I trust that you would come to church because you want to hear from the Lord. I trust that you would read the soap passage during the week so that you could be prepared to hear from the Lord, even concerning his word and what he's already spoken. Looking to receive from him. Do you come prepared? Do you come having soaped up? Do you come with anticipation? Do you come desiring him to open your eyes and open your hearts and to challenge you or change you or confront you? Because he will. He will. He desires to meet you. Peace be with you and show up. The music here is good, but it can only do so much. The preaching here is but it can only do so much. It's going to be Jesus who gives you the revelation into your spiritual gifts. It's going to be Jesus who gives you the revelation into your purpose and that which you, why you exist. It's going to Jesus is going to give the revelation in your relationships and your healing and concerning all things. We need to open our minds to even that which seems impossible. Open our hearts to the supernatural. Live our lives in the ways of God. The ways of God look different than the ways of man, yet somehow very much the same. Do you got something to eat? We can do this. We can walk in obedience. We can do this. We can overcome. We can prevail. We can walk in strength, and we can walk in the supernatural. In our reading between passages, there's a 43 and 44, there's actually time elapses. I know that it just reads, boop, 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 and you just read, bing, 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 bing. But between that verse, 43 and verse 44, there's actually passages of time. Luke records it a little better in Acts. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. See, part of that is we're going to have to spend some time with the Lord. Part of that revelation, part of that understanding, part of that gaining wisdom is you have to spend some time with the Lord. An hour on Sunday won't add up enough for you to call yourself a disciple. It's not going to add up enough. When the scriptures come alive, then you begin to understand that you're growing as a disciple. When you soap during the week, maybe even more, and you see something else the first time you read, and you see something else the next time you read, and you see something else the next time you read, and then the preacher preaches on something that even blows your mind even more. Say, God, man, that's amazing. God is amazing. And he wants to reveal himself and show great and mighty things to you, like a surprise. Your little revelations of surprise and the moments of clarity about who God is and what he has done for you gives you insight into scripture, gives you insight into other people, gives you insight into your finances, gives you insight into your relationships, gives you insight into work and your coworkers. God desires to do this with you and for you. When the Word of God changes you and opens your mind, what is he saying to you right now? You are witnesses of these things, and only you can track your thoughts. Like when I said that, what is he saying to you right now? And you thought about lunch. What? Tells me all I need to know about you. Or you thought about the weather. Or you thought about your aching back. Or you, I gotta go pee. What's he saying to you? Are you blocking out with your ways and your thoughts? And are you yielded, focused on the kingdom of God? You are witnesses of these things. That's verse 48 says. You're going to be my witnesses. What are you witnessing to? Yes, pastor's long service, time for lunch. What are you witnesses to? Yep, my ankles hurt. What are you witnesses to? Yep, radar's telling me there's a tornado on the way. What are you witnesses to? What are you witnessing about? Well, here's your last one. Ready? Reboot. Reboot. Jesus gives each of us a new start. Amen and hallelujah. Even if you failed, I can't think of anything that Jesus is talking to me about right now. You get a chance to reboot and restart. You get a chance, a new chance. Peter got a new start. Amen. Saul got a new start. Amen. King Paul. King David, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, baby, got a new start. Amen. We all need it. We all need a new start. We all need to reboot in many regards. Melinda, you get a reboot. You get a chance to do it again. Amen. Linda, you get a chance to do it. Colin, you get a reboot. Amen. Wendy, even if you messed up yesterday and you failed, you get a reboot. You get a chance to do it again today. And if you messed up this morning, well, you got the whole afternoon to get it right. You get a chance to reboot. God gives you this opportunity, and he reminds them and he reminds you, keep on keeping on. He fulfilled the scriptures by rising from the dead. And then he talks to us. He says, go, preach, go, be my witnesses, go, repent, challenge them, teach them, go into all the people groups of all nations, telling them the great things that I have done for you. For you. What has he done for you? Be his witness. Be his hands, be his feet, be his body, be his voice. He's going to send and give you the Holy Spirit of God that will empower you to be able to. I know we all got scars, and some are more visible than others. If God has brought you some healing, why are you ashamed of your scars? I've been wounded in my past. I still carry scars. Jesus heals my heart and my mind. We got a second chance. I got a reboot. He completely changed the way I thought about myself. Completely changed the way I thought about who God is, what God is. Completely changed the idea of what spirituality was. There's another aberration. Oh, got something to eat? Well, that's no aberration. The story's not over because Jesus is not dead. My story continues. Your story continues. Even though I shall die, yet shall I live. There's a promise from God. Probably too good to be true. Not if I'm trusting in my God. Jesus ascends to deliver the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is asking each and every one of you to testify, to share your experiences, and ready, show your scars. Show your scars. Don't be afraid to show your scars. God's healed. God's provided. God's brought you through. Maybe you're still in the process of healing. That's okay. He deals with all of that right where you are. He's got you. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit of God, he'll tell you when to testify. He'll tell you when to speak. He'll tell you when to remain silent. If you're obedient, the Lord is giving you experiences that you will testify about. He's giving you experiences that you'll testify about. Peace be with you. Why are you troubled and afraid? I am with you. He's revealing himself and giving revelation to get you through the day, to give you the reboot, moment by moment, day by day, morning to afternoon, into evening, over. He's with you. Continuously. Did you ever, I use this example because we have this from time to time. We have a Wi-Fi problem. You ever have a Wi-Fi problem in your house? You have Wi-Fi in your, so you, what are you going to do? I can't figure it out. So you call, and what do they tell you to do? Unplug it. So, what? Yeah, just unplug it. Unplug it. Why? Well, leave it for 10 seconds. Just wait. And put it back in, right? And then what happens? It reboots. It's amazing. It's working. Some of us, we need some serious reboot. So what is a serious reboot? You might need to unplug some of the things that you're plugged into. I don't know. What might that be? Cell phones, TVs. Too much porn. What is it? All you think you know? Unplug. Plug back in. Reboot. Plug back in. To what? Prayer, church, worship, Word of God, soap in the passages of Scripture. Maybe you get a chance. Maybe it's a reboot and you get a second chance. Each new day, each moment a new moment, each experience an experience to walk with him and to testify about him. That's what we're living. That's what we're walking. We would say, I'm saved. Say, well, I've been rebooted. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to just be here, brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that you might continue to shape us and mold us. guide and lead us. Father, thank you for your safety and for your protection today. Man, it sounds kind of quiet after the storm. Seems like peaceful. Thank you, Father. You protected us and saved us in more ways than one. We pray that you would continue your good works among us, that you might receive honor and glory. And Father, may we not be afraid of our scars, but may we testify to Christ's great healing power. Peace be with you. God bless you.